Feel free to take your money with you, Mr. Ellison.
Good morning. May it please the court, I am Jennifer Celine, representing the appellant Daniel Glafke. May I please reserve 2 minutes? So we are here this morning asking the court to reverse the Superior Court's summary judgment order ruling that the rescission of a reconveyance and reinstatement of a deed of trust is an equitable claim, not seeking monetary relief, and was therefore not discharged in Mr. Glafke's bankruptcy. The Superior Court's ruling is in direct conflict with the Supreme Court's ruling in Johnson versus Home Street Bank. In that case, the court was analyzing a deed of trust in the context of a Chapter 13 and as to whether or not it met the definition of a claim under Section 101.5. And the court does find that, in fact, a deed of trust is a claim under the definition of Section 101.5, as a deed of trust gives rise to a right to payment to the beneficiary in the form of the proceeds from the sale of the property. As pointed out by Union Bank, the Johnson...
The claim here is not really the deed of trust. The claim here is whether or not they have a right to rescission.
Whether they have a right to rescission and to reinstate the deed of trust, that's correct. So they at the time of the bankruptcy, they did not have their lien in place. They had a right to bring a cause of action for that claim. So my position is that their claim is to bring a cause of action for a claim as defined under the bankruptcy code, because the deed of trust gives rise to a right to payment.
But they're not. But the actual issue here is the rescission. It's not the deed of trust. The only thing we're talking about now is the rescission, and the rescission doesn't give right to payment, does it?
Well, the action was...
It reinstates the deed of trust. It puts them back to the position that they were in before. But the rescission itself is not what gives them a right to any sort of payment.
Well, it's... Your Honor, it's their complaint was to rescind and reinstate the deed of trust. So by its terms, reinstating the deed of trust gives them a right to payment under the terms of the deed of trust. Does that answer your question? Thank you. As pointed out by Union Bank, the Johnson Court does discuss the distinction between an in rem claim and an in personam claim and what's discharged under the bankruptcy. In this case, the in rem claims against the property do survive a bankruptcy under the very specific exclusions listed under 522C2. That is distinguished from the current case because there was no lien to be excluded in Mr. Glafke's bankruptcy.
So it's... Is rescission an equitable remedy?
Yes, it is.
So if it's an equitable remedy, wouldn't your client, if we were to agree with you,
Well, it's an equitable remedy that does give rise to right to payment, and it would not be a...
I don't think we get there, as Judge Spearman noted. It's rescission and reinstatement of the deed of trust. What happens after that is for another day.
Well, I don't think it would be a windfall in any respect. Just like any other dismissal or discharge of a debt in a bankruptcy is not a windfall to the debtor. It meets the policy of...
But that's not a dischargeable debt. I mean, it's his personal obligation is discharged.
Correct.
But the bank still has a right to proceed against the property. I mean, that's not discharged.
The bank has a right to proceed against the property if its lien is intact at the time of the bankruptcy. In this case, the lien was not intact.
Sure.
So that is the whole question of the case. Then if they did not have an intact lien at the time of the bankruptcy, what they had was a cause of action to rescind the reconveyance and reinstate the deed of trust. So under the Johnson ruling, they're saying that a deed of trust is, in fact, a claim as defined by the bankruptcy code, and the claims are discharged in the bankruptcy. So the cause of action to reinstate is a claim that was discharged in the bankruptcy. I'd also like to briefly distinguish our case from the Irizarry case that is cited by Union Bank. In that court, the court found that the equitable remedies sought did not give rise to a right to payment, and therefore those equitable remedies did survive the bankruptcy, which is in direct contrast to this case, which, as I already discussed, as in the Johnson ruling, the deed of trust does give rise to a right to payment, and therefore it's distinguished in the deed of trust. Then the claim for the deed of trust did not survive the bankruptcy. I have nothing else.
You have 4 minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you.
May it please the court, Avril Rothrock for Union Bank. The remedy provided by the Superior Court was correct according to state and federal law, the bankruptcy code, and the undisputed facts of this case. Just to jump right into Mr. Glefke's sole argument on appeal, the argument is that the bankruptcy discharge acts as an injunction against Union Bank's action. And that is incorrect. It's incorrect under the Johnson case that's been discussed already, and it's also incorrect under Irizarry. And those are two different ways of looking at the claim, but either way the court looks at it, it should affirm. And just to talk about the Johnson v. Home Street Bank, Mr. Glefke's analysis is incomplete, because while the case does state that efforts in rem to proceed against property are claims, it doesn't go so far as to say they're claims that do not survive the Chapter 7 discharge. And this is the point that Judge Spearman was making, that an in rem claim survives a Chapter 7 discharge. So that even if you accept that Johnson versus Home State Bank applies in this case, what the teaching of that case really says that's important here is that the Chapter 7 discharge did not discharge the bank's right to proceed against the property. So I just, it's actually a decision that was written by Justice Marshall. It's a U.S. Supreme Court case, Thurgood Marshall. And he says at 501 U.S. 78 at 82, when discussing a debt secured by a mortgage, a defaulting debtor can protect himself from personal liability by obtaining a discharge in a Chapter 7 liquidation. However, such a discharge extinguishes only the personal liability of the debtor. And he's citing Section 11 U.S.C. Section 524A2, which says this very plainly, that the discharge in a Chapter 7, quote, operates as an injunction against commencement or continuation of an action to enforce a debt as a personal liability of the debtor. And Union Bank's equitable action, as Judge Lau has pointed out, is not that kind of an action. It's an equitable right proceeding against the property. If you decided that this case can't be analogized to Johnson and the interest isn't quite the same because, as Judge Spearman pointed out, it is an actual action to enforce the deed of trust, it's an action for reinstatement of the deed of trust, then the analysis under the Irizarry Ninth Circuit BAP case is that it's not even a claim. And this goes to the fact that it's an equitable remedy. It's not a right to payment. As Judge Lau said, we're talking about this remedy right here now, and what happens later is not anything that changes it into a claim for purposes of dischargeability. And there's other case law besides the Irizarry case in which the court found that the action, an equitable action by the heirs to undo a deed based on incompetency of the grantor, and other cases like In re Udell, which had to do with enforcing the non-compete, and in re probonic, which was specific performance of a PSA, all these types of equitable remedies are not claims that are discharged in bankruptcy. So for those two reasons, this court should affirm the ruling of Judge Rule at CP 251, where he relies on the Johnson case and where he relies on the concept that in rem remedies are not discharged in Chapter 7. This is an in rem remedy. There's no dispute about that. So for that reason, the court should affirm. We also, go ahead.
Your position is predicated upon the assertion that there was a mistake that was made, that the interest in the real property was mistakenly divested from Union Bank. Who testified that that was so?
Well, it was undisputed at the trial court level. There was a declaration by a Ms. Scanlon at CP 190, who is a custodian of the records for Union Bank. And so she went through the analysis that it had actually been mistakenly reconveyed by accident. And, of course, the debtor's sworn schedules show that.
She testified that it was a mistake.
She did in a declaration. That's right. And Mr. Glaifke himself
CP
also.
CP 190, is that what you said?
Yes. And in the declaration of Mr. Glaifke at CP 45, he also goes through all these facts. So it's. And
well, wouldn't know whether the bank was mistaken, though.
Well, he knows he didn't pay.
He wouldn't know he didn't pay, but he wouldn't know whether the bank was mistaken. So
I
was just wondering whether this was all based on the trial court and now us on de novo review being asked to draw an inference from something that we just can't imagine would happen for a good reason, or whether there was actual evidence of the fact.
Yes.
And you've told me that I can find evidence of the fact at CP 190.
Okay. Thank you. So we also had a judicial estoppel argument, and that is based on or supported by the Harris versus 14 case that Judge Trickey decided in 2014. Judge Lau was on that panel, where it basically says you can't go into the bankruptcy court and say one thing and then turn around in state court and say something else to gain a windfall or an advantage. And that is what happened in this case. It was Mr. Glaifke who put the schedules into the bankruptcy court that said that Union Bank had an enforceable right in the property. It was secured. That right would pass through the bankruptcy. And now.
But he has to. The time you made that statement, he didn't know that.
Well, that's right. But through.
How is that a false statement? He's only saying what he.
Well, I think from lack of diligence or inquiry,
well,
that was.
I'm not talking about lack of diligence there with the bank.
Yeah, that's probably not your.
Yeah, that's. I totally agree.
Is probably not your strongest.
I do agree.
Today, where the bank gave up its rights. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but in general, it is a fair outcome what Judge Rule granted here in this case, and it doesn't undermine the fair start principles of the bankruptcy code. So for all of these reasons, we ask that the court affirm. I have 3 minutes if anyone has an additional question.
Do you need more?
No, thank
you. Okay, thanks. You've got 4 minutes, counsel.
Just briefly, Your Honor, I would like to point out that the in rem claims that pass through bankruptcy, pass through specifically under the statute 522C2, which creates the exemptions from the bankruptcy estate. And that exemption is a lien. So if the lien was in place at the time of the bankruptcy, clearly it would have passed through. We're not disputing that fact. But what we're saying is that the lien was not in place at the time of the bankruptcy. Instead, they had a cause of action to reinstate and to reinstate the deed of trust. So the question is reinstating a deed of trust reinstating a debt that was discharged? Under the definition of Johnson, or the analysis of Johnson,
but it's a personal debt that was discharged.
The personal debt was discharged. That's correct. The promissory note was discharged. So in a circumstance where the deed of trust would not have been reconveyed, clearly it would have passed through the bankruptcy and been in place, but it wasn't. It had been reconveyed. So is that distinction important? And we believe that it is, that the cause of action to reinstate is different than the lien being in place, the lien passed through bankruptcy. The cause of action to reinstate an instrument which represents a claim, as analyzed by the Johnson case, does not pass through the bankruptcy and was discharged as a debt. And, Your Honor, with response to the judicial estoppel argument, I cited in my briefing the mistake cases. There's also, in the Sweeney case, an analysis when the party can explain, such as in this case, why they're taking different positions, and that's outlined in my briefing. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next up is the Cullen matter.